And again, I'm going to keep us in Q&A mode. So if you hit star 6 on your phone, you can unmute at any time and ask questions. If you want to mute yourself or remute yourself, star 6 and it'll mute you again. What we want to do is a little bonus call today for everybody on what I'll term renewal bliss. And what I think is important to this to get started, and again, I want to make it very interactive, each of these three little extra bonus calls we've done got started with having the same conversation with different Inner Circle of Peak Performers members 3 or 4 or 5 times. And any time it's a common conversation, I always think it's better, just like you would in your martial arts school. You know, if you have a common thing to work on, you know, have a small group class or small group makeup class or whatever. And so that was the whole point of this. And so from a renewal blitz standpoint, what I want to start with is reminding everybody of just the wealth of information that is up in your member site. So if you log into the member site, and then if you type renewal blitz or just blitz, you're going to come up with just an incredible amount of resources on how to do this type of huge, you know, launch or relaunch blitz effort on renewals. And I know a lot of you have probably spent the time over the weekend going through that. That's great. That'll give you food for thought or for interactivity and questions today. If you haven't, I just remind you to do that. And on the site, there is just an incredible amount of materials there, including we did a full photos of a school decorated for a big launch. All of the different handouts and so forth, I believe, are there, et cetera. And you're also welcome always to look without copying. I mean, obviously, anything that's in the NAPNA member site is yours to use verbatim. But you're always welcome to look at milehighblackbelt.com. And it hasn't been updated in a while. It's next on our list update. But it's the site that we've been using for quite a few years now as the next step in the renewal process for the franchise schools. And what that site does is it has 2 different infomercials, if you will, for the upgrade and renewal, and it has a bunch of the handouts. And it's designed really for week 1 through 5 of a new student participation, a little different than the kind of blitz type of thing that we're going to talk about today, but it'll give you some good ideas. And as we move forward, let me again reference you back to the member content and resources, because what we have set up now for you, and, you know, we had the whole team really working, I mean, you know, 20-hour days for quite a while here to get all this stuff up to speed for you. But we have on the site a number of resources. One is a huge full-color, high-resolution poster. You can take it over to Office Max or Kinko's or, you know, FedEx Office or whatever and get it blown up. But a huge full-color poster that illustrates basically basic enrollment, Black Belt Club, leadership, and then Gold Team. And we are providing a huge number of resources for this new complete done-for-you leadership program online, which includes the weekly email for leadership members. And again, keep in mind that a leadership member should be getting leadership material every week. They should be getting Black Belt Club material every week. They should be getting basic program material every week. So we've got the resources online for Chicken Newsletter Weekly, Lessons of the Week Weekly, Black Belt Club content, leadership content, but the leadership program content, as well as Gold Team, which is the next level up. I've heard that referred to in a couple of different names from a few different schools who have some kind of assistant instructor training program or something. But the leadership program content online is extremely robust. It's designed and set up to be a complete 36-month rotating curriculum, and of course in that process they're going to roll up into Gold Team as well, so then they'll start having Gold Team leadership, Black Belt Club, and basic program content. But what I would make sure that you've done is go through and take a look at all that stuff quickly. Right on the front page is Leadership Program Quick Start, which is going to give you, it's got that beautiful new Leadership Program graphic. Again, every month there's a video-based lesson, Leadership Program application, curriculum outline, poster, high resolution, low resolution one for a website, the other to print out and do poster level on your wall, and again, just a ton of other material there on the website. And from my estimation, I mean, everybody should be using all of that stuff. And you'll see some of the historic stuff in January, February, March, April, May, and June. And then, of course, what we're doing is every month we're releasing the new content. And as long as you have your students plugged into the follow-up sequence, which you see on the website says BFY follow-up, as long as you have them plugged into the follow-up sequence, they'll be getting all that information. Now, what I see a lot of times, and I'd like to talk about and address this first, is there seems to be an awful lot of schools who, no matter how many times they hear about the concept, have a hard time really launching, having a renewal process and an upgrade system in place. And again, all this stuff is not new, and at our last Inner Circle meeting, we talked about this kind of extensively. But what I hear among adult-oriented schools, MMA schools, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, fitness-type programs, is I hear, well, this is kids stuff. It's not for adult schools, or it's not for MMA schools, or it's not for fitness programs. And the reality is all this stuff was derivative of the dance school industry from the 30s, 40s, and 50s that were moved into martial arts schools. And kind of the lineage for all this stuff was it went from Fred Astaire Dance Studios through Pat Rolson to June Rhee and to Ed Parker and to Chuck Norris. And ended up evolving, again, through Nick O'Guinness with Art Linkletter and Rotten Totten Dance Studios, and then on the Ed Parker side, there's quite a few other derivations of this. And all of it was really adult program upgrade renewal structure, really until I refocused the efforts in the 80s towards having a more robust life skills development program for kids as well. And so if you're an adult program school, I mean, this was developed. All of it was developed initially for exactly your target market and appreciated by your target market. And frankly, they paid a lot of money for it. And on the other side, sometimes I hear comments of, well, this is very high-level content. It goes over the heads of the kids. And, you know, my philosophy of that for years has been, in part, certainly there is an instructor training component for them to learn how to present the concept at a high level and then how to translate it appropriately to a five-year-old or a seven-year-old. But to the greatest extent, the younger the child is, the more parent involvement is necessary and the more parent involvement is expected in all this content. So what you don't want to do is say, well, we don't do leadership program content or leadership program upgrades for like little ninjas, because that's exactly the wrong way to go. And in fact, over the years, I often find parents of a five-year-old or parents of a four-year-old or of a six-year-old are even more willing to invest in their kids than, let's say, parents of a 12-year-old. So don't make that mistake either. What you want to do is make sure you understand the concept. Now, within this, and again, not to rehash things that some of you may know already, but within this, I've seen, and again, none of this is new, but I've seen a bunch of schools recently who are kind of going back to what both Jay Kim and June Rhee did 30, 35, 40 years ago, which is enrolling people like directly at the enrollment into leadership or black belt club. And I think it's a mistake to present the new enrollment as being like a leadership program for one of a couple of reasons. One is I believe that after the first couple of months of really introducing somebody properly to your program, that we can both show them the value of the program at a much higher level, but also then push the barriers of the tuition to a much higher level. And I really don't like, and again, have done it before. I've done it in the past. I've watched a lot of schools do it. I don't like sitting down at the enrollment conference and presenting, you know, we have option A leadership, option B black belt club. What do you want to do? I much prefer it's a basic or trial enrollment that then you have to qualify for training the black belt and beyond. And again, don't get caught up in terminology. What I would recommend for everybody on the phone is to have basic or trial enrollment, black belt club, and leadership. And black belt club now is designed as a fallback to the leadership program. So if you push the price point aggressively enough on leadership, then you're going to have some portion of people who aren't going to be able to, you know, go straight into that, and they'll go to black belt club in the process, if that makes sense. So, anyway, hang on half a second here. We have a couple people trying to get in the call. For some reason, they have the wrong access number. Oh, whoops. Yeah, we sent out, that was my mistake. I'm going to put the call on hold for half a second here and then store up some questions. Okay, I think we have both conference lines plugged together here. And apparently I made a mistake by sending out the wrong conference line. And so that's always a challenge. But anyway, so Massimoody, did you start with the other team?
No, I was waiting for we were waiting for you, sir. We were trying to figure out what the technical difficulties were.
Ms. Callahan,
can you hand me that program book that's right in front of you, please? I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Okay, I am back, and Massimoody, we
That is my mistake, because I sent out two different teleconference line numbers, didn't I? So now we have two separate lines in play. So that's very entertaining. Are you there, Master Moody?
I'm here, sir.
Okay. Well, we know whose fault this one is today. This is my fault. I sent out two different teleconference line numbers. So we've had people waiting for us on both different lines. So if everybody who was with me earlier, if you indulge us for half a second, we'll kind of start a little bit from scratch. But Master Moody, our conversation today is about renewal bliss, and I was briefly explaining to everybody who showed up with me. And we have this recorded, so I will send it out to everybody if they miss that little 10 or 15 minutes. But, you know, really, there's a lot of schools who are doing one of two things, which I think both of get in your way. One is they just haven't gotten their handle around having an upgrade system. And so, therefore, what they end up with, is a system where they basically just do a year at a time enrollment. Or they end up with a system where, you know, there's initial 6 or 12 months program, and then they do renewal from time to time. But on the flip side of that, Master Moody, is we've seen a lot of schools who are kind of doing the opposite, which is they end up at the enrollment presentation presenting something like leadership and black belt, and they don't have like an initial or trial enrollment. And I think that's a huge mistake as well. And I was explaining as we were on this other call that what ends up happening is that really along in the process is just if you don't have a solid renewal process early on in the first couple of months, I think what you're doing is you're leaving a lot of money on the table. Because ultimately what you can do at the enrollment conference, whether it's in lesson one or lesson two, and what you can do after you've had 3 or 4 or 5 months, and usually more like 1 or 2 months of prepping them on a new higher level is pretty dramatically different. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. It's really important to have those two stages.
Yeah. But and what happens is that if you have those two stages, is you're able to push the price points pretty dramatically. And again, you know, what we've seen some of the schools doing is right at that enrollment conference, they're presenting like leadership and Black Belt Club as the two options right at the enrollment process. But what I see is rarely do they have much of a tuition jump in that. And frankly, usually what they're doing is the higher level program is probably what a basic level enrollment should be to begin with. And so you end up in a situation where you lock people in for, you know, sometimes 36 or 48 months. Others, they're not doing it as long as that, but you lock them in at a price point that, from my estimation, may be half what they'd be willing to pay once you prep them properly. And so as you look at it, I think you're really much better off to have that preparatory process. And I had pointed people, if they want to look at the Mile High Karate system, which again is a little dated, but we're updating it, is milehighblackbelt.com. And there's a couple of infomercials and stuff that explain the process. And I was reminding everybody about all the done-for-you material that we have. And what it is it's a follow-up where they're getting leadership material, Black Belt Club material, and so forth on a regular basis by email, at least once a week. They're getting content from us. And also, it reminded everybody that just this whole renewal bliss process
really is thoroughly explained A to Z on the website. So if you go through and search renewables, you'll find it all A to Z. But from a price point standpoint, and Mass Media, give me a different perspective if you have one, but you know, my perspective has been that whatever you're doing the initial enrollment at, and I don't think I've ever seen somebody who I suggested their price point was too high, to tell you the truth, but you know, let's say your initial tuition stamp for a new enrollment is, let's say, $197 a month. Is my rule of thumb is a leadership program where you can basically double that price. So if you went from $197 to $397, I think that that's completely doable. And then having a fallback of Black Belt Club, so that if you price some of the people out of, you know, out of being able to do that, you still have the renewal. And of course, you can cycle back with them later. So typically, I'm looking at Black Belt Club as being maybe about a 50% bump. So at the low end, maybe going from $197 to $247 a month. At the higher end, maybe going from $197 to $297 a month. And of course, in last month's Mile High Maverick, I gave everybody a complete price sheet that gave a sense of that. That they can kind of tune and tweak and play with from the, for themselves from there. Asim, anything that you would add to that?
Yeah, I think a key point is to make is it seems like the sweet spot in terms of program levels is three programs, because you have the first one and then you have the two that you're going to upgrade somebody to or renew somebody with, and if you don't have two and you don't have the fallback position, it puts you in a yes or no position. For the upgrade, you know, you started in your trial program and now you're going to upgrade, and you're either going to upgrade or not. And we really need to present two options at that point. That's part one. Part two is I would reiterate another way to say about the way the pricing is set up is before people know us, there's only so much money we can charge, whatever that is. It could be $150 or $200 a month. And after they know us a little while, then they can charge more. The mistake is, number one, to have them come in at some sort of $30 program or $40 program, then try to upgrade them, because now you're upgrading them from $30 to whatever your price point is going to be. So we have to start out that price point high enough so that then the upgrade can be higher when they know it's better. So those are the, I would just, you know, in agreement with what you're saying, just saying it in a different way.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about it is, and again, with our new Inner Circle Peak Performers, you know, we always start with that business evaluation, and I always like to go back to that every 12 months or so with everybody to really get a sense of A to Z where they're at to begin with. But one of the things that I notice is, like a lot of the new schools that you and I have been working with, Master Moody, they have really glossy, pretty stuff, but none of it has parent feedback, testimonial, student feedback, all of that kind of material. And, you know, when I first really focused on that, and I guess probably 20 years ago, is I would say at the time, it wasn't as deeply ingrained in people's psyche as it is now. And what you end up with nowadays is, nowadays, if I go to Amazon, I'm reading all the reviews of the thing I'm buying. If I'm going to online, if I Google somebody, I'm getting the reviews. And what's important is not only to have a ton of good Google reviews on Google Places and so forth, but it's just to overwhelm people with proof that isn't that you're saying it's a great thing, but that a lot of other people, and in this case we're talking about renewing them to Black Belt and beyond, that a lot of other people, a lot of other, if it's kids, that the parents and the kids are giving feedback, if it's adults, that they're giving feedback. And what I want to do is stack up as much testimonial content, video, audio, and written as humanly possible. I want to overwhelm them with it, knowing that most of it they're not going to read or listen to or watch. But if they get a ton of it, much more than they can possibly consume, it removes the credibility factor. And then also I want to make sure that all the stuff that's showing up online is congruent with that. And Matt Smith, you're on the line here with us too. We had a couple of I created a couple of problems with conference lines. We had conference going on two different conference lines here, but I think we've managed to fix that. We have them plugged together here. Matt Smith, anything that you would add to that so far?
Well, the best way to get the credibility, you know, when we do our graduation, we use the graduation ceremony as the testimonial. We'll have our prospective students coming to one of those black belt graduations. And we do our underbelt graduation 1 month. We do our black belt graduation the next month. So it's perfect timing before they hit their next graduation. It gives us also a deadline to upgrade them, because if you're talking to them about black belt training and you don't give them a deadline, then it doesn't create a sense of urgency. They'll just kind of take it as, okay, well, we'll think about it, and you know, maybe you know, before they get their green belt, then maybe we'll do it. So we always create that sense of urgency. But in the black belt graduation, I found it works even better than the written testimonials. You know, if they see it on, if you send them a link that has testimonials, I think that's better than written email or text, because they get to visually see somebody talking.
Yep.
And an actual person.
Yes.
So at our graduation, the next step better than the video is for them to see it live. So as we're doing the graduation, I try to make the graduation kind of like an infomercial for black belt training.
Mm-hmm.
So we're explaining, and we'll have our black belts up there with, you know, some of our students. And at our regular graduation, we'll do it also, but we don't have as many black belts, so I invite black belts to come. And when our level one and twos are up, they're doing some of the black belt training on their test, and so we'll invite a couple of the best ones to come up, and they perform with some of the black belts in their same age category, and that just bumps their look up so much more when they see black belts with them, because the kids, it's much easier for them to follow, and they tend to match at the higher skill set than if you put somebody in there that's screwing it up.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're explaining that this is what black belt training is about, and we explain that we are a black belt school, and all of our students are working towards black belt, but until you decide you want to be a black belt, we're not going to put you on the black belt track of training. And this is what the black belt track of training is. This is what the basic level of training is. So they understand the difference between the two. And the best analogy that I found that I use quite frequently is the basic program is kind of like your freshman year of college. And once you start that freshman year and you haven't declared a major, you haven't taken specific courses that are going to get your degree, even though you're taking some of the basic level courses. But once you decide you want to be an engineer or you want to be a lawyer or a doctor, whatever, accountant, whatever it is you're going to major in, you're going to start taking specific classes that are going to help you get that degree. And
yeah.
The sooner you declare that degree and start taking those classes, the sooner you start getting the specific classes that are going to help you get your degree in that field. And that's what our black belt training is.
You bet. And
that's kind of how we do it.
And to point out a couple of things there, Master Smith, that you just said is, you know, we have a wide range of school owners on the call. And what you have on one end is, you know, let's say I'm a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, and I'm set up where they only test every year or two. See, that's a huge mistake, and it's kind of like back to the past, is even if you don't accelerate what the belt progression is with your current existing belt, you need to add a lot of intermediate progress checks. And And we used to do that. You'd get your first degree, and then your second degree black belt wasn't for 3 years, and there wasn't another test for 3 years. And what we shifted to is every 2 months or so, an intermediate progress test. And what you end up with as part of what Master Smith are talking about is you end up with a progress celebration every couple of months, and you end up with an ability to do that big, you know, big show. The other side, we see some schools who, you know, still kind of do the old, I'm going to test you in class whenever you're ready for it, and then I give you the new, you know, the new belt maybe in front of the intermediate class, but I don't do any big celebration or something like that. And that's a mistake for a couple of reasons. One, you don't have that infomercial opportunity. Two is the belt graduation, not the test itself, but the belt graduation is a marvelous opportunity to have a huge referral of it. So you've got to focus on that. The second thing, and again, kind of going back to your point, Master Moody, is that the biggest opportunity you have, and I wanted to address one more thing you just said, Master Smith, before I do that, is from a standpoint of testimonials. See, the best possible thing I could have is the student or the parent of the student is sitting on the benches, and let's say it's a 7-year-old, is five moms in a row come over and say, hey, my son Billy over there is 9, he's a black belt. This is the greatest thing he ever did. Here's what we thought to begin with. Here's what the problems were. Here's what he accomplished. Any questions I could have, you know, answer for you. That'd be the best thing, if you could get that to happen over and over and over again. And, of course, in practical terms, that's nearly impossible to work through. The second best is on a regular basis in front of the class when they're there, you're having that kind of thing happen live. And the ability for them to, you know, to see and talk to and ask questions of black belts or advanced students and parents of those students, and for them to really be getting personal live feedback about the program. The easiest way to orchestrate that is in the belt graduation, like you just said, Master Smith, which is a combination of showing off physical achievements plus really having a big infomercial about benefits with testimonials and so forth. And then after that, next best is showing them all of that on video. Next best is giving it to them in audio, and third best is giving them to them in written form. And the worst way to give it to them in written form is to have it be anonymous, right? So what you want to make sure you do is in every way that you can load them up with that content is give them that proof. Master Moody, shifting here for a second, you were texting me we should get to Renewal Bliss. What we have, Master Moody, on the call is I think we have an interesting combination of two different situations. We need to kind of address both at once and do a lot of Q&A. But we have a lot of schools who have the concept of leadership or black belt club or master's club or something. But what they're doing is I think they have two problems with what they're doing in a lot of cases. One is they're making it mostly based on you get to come to another class or you get some additional physical curriculum, and it's not really a developmentally based program. The other problem I see is that they're not charging enough for it and not prepping the person properly for it. So they end up with, you know, let's say something like a new enrollment's 149, black belt club is 169, and leadership is 189 or something like that. And so they're leaving a lot of money on the table. The other side, and we have a bunch of schools, strangely, who still fit this category, is they don't have an upgrade at all. So they enroll somebody, let's say, for 12 months, and it automatically renews month to month. Or they do an enrollment for 149, and they do a renewal for 149, and then another renewal for 149. And with a lot of the schools that are on that side, I just don't understand what the gap is. But for everybody, we're providing a tremendous amount of leadership material content that's about non-physical curriculum. In other words, it's about developmental curriculum. to address the one side, Master Moody, is what would you say to the schools who just, you know, haven't seen, let's say I'm a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school, I just haven't gotten that there should be the next step, or maybe we talked quite a bit about this in Houston, where, you know, maybe they're doing a 9-year program to black belt and they get bogged down into the language of black belt club rather than the principle of getting people committed longer term. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think we covered a lot of that already. They need to have multiple layers of programs, and the thing to do is we provide, in terms of leadership, it seems like it ought to be about leadership, and that's what we've got such good material with NAPMA on what to do, kind of a step-by-step way, and not to try to reinvent it. You know,
yes.
Just use the stuff that we've already got, or make it as simple as possible, because that's going to provide the most value for the students later than trying to reinvent it from scratch. The other thing I would mention to follow up on what Master Smith said is getting those testimonials, it's really not that hard. I mean, I've got a ton of testimonials, and I maybe spent, you know, a couple hours getting them, just talking to students at different events and said, hey, would you write something for me? And I gave them a pen and a piece of paper, and they write something about it, and then I take a video, then I video them after they write it so that I've got it, and they've already thought through what they should say. So I guess I want to follow up with Master, anybody on the call thinking, oh, man, I don't have any testimonials. Oh, that's going to be a big pain to get. It's really, really pretty easy. And I even got testimonials from people that were in our beginner program and then asked them to upgrade right afterwards. So there's no problem getting testimonials from everybody for anything that you want.
No, and you know, and that's a little bit of a side topic, but the easiest way, you know, is to do it live, like Master Smith said. And while you're doing it live, have a video camera running, and then pull people over one at a time and do like a little interview format and just ask them questions and get it on video. And once you have it on video, it's very easy to then pull the audio track and you have it on audio, and then get it transcribed and you have it in written form. What I found the hardest to do over the years is to get a mom to sit down and write a letter, although sitting down, as you said, you know, giving them a legal pad and asking them to write something out, that's easy to do. Sending them home with an assignment is difficult. But putting a video camera in people's face and getting tons of good content is super easy. So there's no challenge with that at all. But going back to specifically Renewal Blitz, is the idea of Renewal Blitz is this, is that if you do not have the next level upgrade, so let's say you're in a school where you have a basic program and you have a black belt club, or you're in a school where you have a basic program and don't have black belt club or leadership in place, is you will never do more revenue in your life than the point at which you launch the next new program. And if you're in a situation where you already have all the program structure in place, but let's say that either you haven't raised your prices in a while, or your prices were too low to begin with, which is most everybody on the call, or you're in a situation, if you're in that kind of situation, or if you're in a situation where, let's say I have 300 students, but only 50 of them are in the high-level program, is this Renewal Blitz concept is useful really for two situations. One situation is announcing a big price increase and renewing everybody in the school at what's presented as the old grandfathered rate. And frankly, the old grandfathered rate can be at a lower rate than it's going to be, even if you didn't have the program to begin with, right? Or option two is you haven't had the program in place and now you're launching it. And Master Smith, Master Moody, and myself, I mean, we've talked to a ton of schools that are either in one of two categories. They're either right now charging $179 a month for leadership, and it should be $379 a month, or they don't have the program in place at all. And and Master Smith, I learned this from you, and I've got to say it's probably 25 or 30 years ago, probably closer to 30 years ago. And I learned it from you by both watching You orchestrate the launch of Master Club back at Junior Institute many years ago. And then by watching and having the conversation with you where you talked about basically turning your worst months of the year into your best months of the year and doing a huge renewal results with first of the year price increase. Talk to us about the principle here for a second, Master Smith. You there? We may have lost him on mute here. But I'll go through the. See, I think the principle is that you always have a lot of opportunity buried in your school of people who should have been renewed or upgraded that haven't been for whatever reason. And in my case, with five or six schools that I personally owned for years, what I always found is that my staff is frankly just a lot less efficient than I would have liked. And across a multi-school operation, frankly, that's almost always the case. And what we would do is twice a year, once would be right now, and once would be at Christmas, is we would do a big renewal blitz and just go through and orchestrate organization-wide a point to clean up all of those people who should have been renewed but frankly hadn't been. And the premise when I launched, let's say, leadership was the best because now I can go through and say, look, we have this new program. You've been a long-time loyal student. Since you're a long-time loyal student, we're going to grandfather you in at a reduced rate for the program. And the way that I would come up with that reduced rate is I'd figure out basically what they're paying now and create that same ratio I was just talking about you know, doubling the monthly and then a 50% bump. And I would come up with the price point for them based upon what they were paying now versus what the rates were going to go up to. In other words, if I was now enrolling people for, say, $197 a month, but they were paying $129 a month because they had been enrolled, you know, a while ago, is I would base the leadership program on a percentage bump from what they were currently paying, not what the current price points were, and would offer them that discounted rate. And Master Smith, who hopefully will get off mute here in a minute, but he pointed out that one of the most important elements is people only make decisions about, you know, signing a contract or giving you money based upon a deadline. Because if I'm enrolled for a year now and there's no deadline and it's just as cheap a year from now as it is today, I'll wait a year from now. However, if there's a discount for renewing, let's say, by the end of June, and then it's going to go up dramatically, is that gives me a lot of price leverage to make a decision right away. So when you're launching, what you want to do is you want to... You there? I don't know whether we have him or not, Master Mitty. But anyway...
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But when you're launching the next new program is... You want to recognize, one, again, no matter how many students you have, let's say you're a bigger operation, you know, high in Eric in Houston. What was their number, Master Moody, about 1,200 students? So let's say you have 1,200 students.
Yeah.
Is if you're doing across 1,200 students across, in their case, four locations, is it's always difficult to get people's attention. And to get them to then understand what it is you're trying to communicate with them, and then to create urgency. And what you'll see on the member side with all this renewal blitz stuff is a combination of things. Number one is aggressively, overwhelmingly, and even obnoxiously decorating the school from ceiling to floor, mirrors to walls to everywhere, so that they just can't miss the point that there's something new, exciting, different, and there's a deadline going on. And again, there's lots of examples on the website, so I'll let you go in and look at that. Number two is communicating it with them with every mechanism possible And of course, nowadays, you know, that's everything from Pinterest to Facebook, but I would certainly include email, broadcast voicemail, text messaging, direct mail, and typically what I would do is mail to them a couple times a week for, say, 6 weeks, postcards and letters, everything from big packages, mostly dominated by testimonials with a cover letter. And if you look at that website I referenced, myblackbelt.com, you'll see a letter that I put together several years ago that's designed to have a $1 million bill attached. So I would send them a letter with a ton of testimonial content, an explanation of what's going on, something on bright red or bright orange neon that has the deadline. And all of it would have, or a lot of it would have an emphasis of, you know, deadline June 30th or June 31st, or whatever the graduation date was, to save whatever the number is, so let's say $5,000, to save a significant amount of money. And part of it is going to be predicated on you've really got to rush and do this to save a huge amount of money. And so I would mail to them, text to them, broadcast voicemail, you know, show up in their Facebook feed and all that crap, and make sure that they don't miss the point. Then every time they come into class, there'd be a big handout that they would get that would explain what's going on, and he would either support the argument for why they should be committed to and excited about training the black belt, or it would be information about specifically what was going on, specifically what the new program was all about, and then the deadline. The next thing I would make sure that I do...
This is Greg Moody. The thing I jump in here is everybody's maybe taking notes on this and all the stuff that you're doing. It's, you want to overwhelm them, and that's clear. But once you make your plan, it's not like you're doing 500 things a day. You break it up into days and break it up into tasks, and it's not that bad. And you should try to get started on this right now. And then, you know, how often do we do this? Maybe once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And see, I used to do it twice a year. I would do it in the spring and fall, and then evolved towards it was basically every year at the end of the year. And really what it was is when we were doing it fairly frequently is, again, across multiple schools, I had a bunch of different moving parts. So a ton of preview seminars, invitations to special events, graduations. We would organize a big graduation, black belt graduation show twice a year, an intramural tournament that they'd be basically a preview for this. But what a lot of my staff would say is they'd say, well, how can we do this every year? Everybody's seen it. And the reality is, really, it's only directed after the first time. It's really only directed at students who are in, let's say, the first 6 months of training, because they all should be renewed within a couple of months, and then it's cleaning up all the ones that didn't get renewed in cycle. And so if you do it twice a year, it's just aimed at people really who are new for the first 6 months anyway, predominantly. So it really, you know, it really isn't like the entire student body has seen this and it's now old hat, because most of the student body either fits into one of two categories. They're new students who need to be renewed, or they're already renewed long term. And you don't really have, once you've launched these things properly, you don't have a lot of students who have been there for 18 months or 24 months or something like that who aren't renewed into your highest level program, because they frankly either drop out or they renew. Is that a fair way to say that, Master Moody?
Yeah, and I would say, too, right now a lot of the people on the call are thinking about changing the way their programs are set up based on what we said before and what we've been talking about on the one-on-one call. So that's a really important time to do this launch, especially if you're going to increase your prices. This is a fantastic opportunity to do the blitz now. Do a big promotion. Make it a big deal in the summer. There's a theme there that you can go along with it. And then plan on doing it again 6 months later or right about when the year end happens. So don't be afraid of doing it twice, but in this case, a lot of you are trying to increase your prices or change how your program is configured. This is absolutely the perfect time to do this, and you'll make quite a bit of money too this month, because a lot more people will upgrade, a lot more things will happen.
Well, and to address that point, I think we have Master Smith got bumped off and he's back on, along with our other myriad teleconference Comedy of Errors today. But Master Smith, you back with us?
Yes, I am.
There you go. There you go. But for to address your point there, Master Murdy, is the if you're launching a new program, and let's give some realistic numbers, is my rule of thumb for years with my school was our worst case was going to be of all the people who weren't in that highest level program, is we could get half of them. And my target was always at the high level about 75%. And Master Smith, historically, at your school, you've been running more like 87%. And if I've got the numbers correct in my mind here, is you've been running about 87% of everybody who enrolls ends up upgraded, and about 90% of them go into the more expensive program. Is that about right? I think you must be on a pretty crappy cell connection there, Master Smith. But anyway, let's let me remind everybody that this is designed to be an open Q&A. So anybody who has any specific questions about anything that we've talked about or haven't talked about, as long as it has to do with upgrades, aka renewals, and the renewal blitz, let's just hit *6 at any time to unmute yourself, ask any questions at all. Let me give it a little bit of a pause here as Master Smith is getting unmuted to ask if anybody has any questions so far. There you go. We hear you.
Hello, this is Chester.
Okay, Chester. Question so far, Chester.
Yeah, I was curious to know from your experience or any other schools that you've worked with or that may have at one point in time decided to stop doing leadership as to why they would have chosen to do so, what made it not successful for them, so that we can learn to make sure to do things the right way.
That stopped doing leadership?
Yeah, I want to kind of learn from what it is that maybe they had done wrong that led them to stop doing leadership, so that I make sure not to do that, if that makes
sense. Well, I understand what you're saying. I think the most likely issue there, and again, you know, I've seen two things happen. One is some people inappropriately respond to any criticism they get from students, and therefore change directions of their business based upon a vocal minority, right? So I have heard, and again, keep in mind, I mean, you know, my rule of thumb is 5% of the population is crazy, right? And another 5% is just looking for something to complain about. And so what I have heard schools say is that, well, somebody complained about X, so we stopped doing this. You know, somebody, and we've heard it for all different things. We stopped doing Black Belt Club, we stopped doing leadership, we stopped doing long-term contracts, we stopped doing contracts. We injected into our contract that you can cancel at any time with 30 days notice. You know, all of those kinds of things. And usually when I heard a school that did that, it was because one or two people over the years, and in some cases it was out of hundreds of students, complained bitterly about something, and therefore they decided to just stop doing it altogether. Does that make sense? Typically that's what I find. The other thing I find is school owners who went through a period of either having low involvement by the owner, or across multiples of having mediocre staff training, and just had a period where they just couldn't get their staff to do it and gave up. And the third thing I see sometimes is, and frankly we've seen this recently even among some pretty big operations, is, you know, what I'll uncharitably refer to as the inmates running the asylum, is I can't get my instructor, I can't get my branch manager, I can't get my program director to do it, to believe in it. They keep telling me that nobody will do it in our area because They keep telling me that none of our students will do it because they keep telling me you just can't charge that much in our area because that type of thing. Does that make sense? And so we've seen a fair number of owners who are being, you know, led around by the short hairs by their staff and just can't seem to get their staff to do it. And again, I mean, you know, one of the best success stories we've heard of in recent years is Apple Computer and Steve Jobs, right? And, you know, you don't read anything in the bio of Jobs or the history of Apple that leads you to believe that he took the naysayer's word for things and or that the inmates ran the asylum there, right? And, you know, there's a, management-wise, there is a balance. There's a balance between being dictatorial and between running everything on a consensus basis. But ultimately, as the business owner, you're responsible for the outcome. And I believe it's necessary and important to learn a management style where you convince all of your staff to believe in the direction you're setting, where they have enough faith and confidence in you to follow your direction. But then it's at the same time necessary for them to get with the program and go in the direction that you're pointing them in. So there certainly is a balance with that. But it can't be that one or two people on your staff, or even bigger number, who are incapable of selling it or unwilling to believe in it, set the direction of your school. Does that all make sense, Chester?
That makes sense. My challenge will be within Priority International as an organization. You know, I'm one of five schools in the greater Raleigh area, and I'd be the only one doing this. I'm the only one with NAPMA, and having my instructor, you know, being a naysayer, more or less.
Sure. Well, and again, your problem is not a unique situation. There are, at our meetings in Houston, is, you know, within the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys, is, you know, their conversation was, well, our tournaments are structured in such a way and our belt structure is dictated in such a way, and we can't change that. And the reality is, even within working with that kind of structure, and a lot of the big national organizations is, you know, Master Moody and I are working closely with a lot of ATA schools, and they have a certain preconception based upon their tournament structure and so forth. And I've worked with, over the years, a lot of people in a lot of different martial arts associations. And in those other organizations, what I would say is an awful lot of time the person at the top may be a gifted martial artist, but oftentimes they are not well versed in how the most productive, successful, and profitable professional schools operate. So now what you've got to do, Don Sutherland was a great example within his Tang Sudo organization of being part of an operation that where the leaders of that organization really didn't understand what a professional school was all about. But he would lead that organization in such a way that his schools were doing so much more revenue and so many more active students and so many more test candidates and of such a higher quality that either what he then led them to ended up becoming the norm across the organization, or they were so pleased with his overall results that in essence they just let him alone and didn't bother him, if that makes sense.
Can I add a couple things on there?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of leadership, what it kind of comes down to is I think a lot of people, and you know who you are that we've talked to about this, you know, think that leadership is, like, there's something magic about that. What it's supposed to be envision or encompass is that the kids that we have or the adults that we have or the students we have are going to learn how to be leaders. And, you know, we take that in the curriculum that we have, take that pretty seriously. What a lot of people have done is tried to just, they've heard about this leadership thing, and they just added more martial arts curriculum. So there's more weapons or more stuff they got to do, and it puts a burden on the students. What should happen with these programs, if you have three program levels, is there should be a fundamentally simple a straightforward program at the basic program level. That's what we call ours. It shouldn't be so complicated that they can't get it pretty quickly. It may only be two or four months of curriculum. Then the other levels to get them to black belts are the ones that they're serious students. The mid-level might be whatever you think they need to learn for just to get their black belt through their martial arts curriculum. And it shouldn't burden the student more than what that would require. It should be a significant achievement, but not, you know, not more than you would normally require. And then leadership should be some add-on material that adds value, but also doesn't burden the student. And what we see some schools do is that leadership ends up being, and why they might fail is they say, yeah, I have a leadership program, and that student gets to come in 5 days a week. Well, if you tell the student that, there's not many people that want to come in 5 days a week or do 10 times as much stuff. What they want to do is maybe stay an extra half hour, get some really exciting additional material that's really valuable, and then it has some value to them in the long term, but not burden them with lots and lots of extra work. Now, hopefully that makes sense to everybody. So as you're designing your curriculum, it should be really, you know, three sets of curriculum, and then maybe a fourth one would be your instructor program or other stuff that you would add on to that as well, which is a different conversation than what we're having today. But hopefully that makes sense. In terms of how you're designing what should go into each of these boxes.
Yeah, and again, to further answer that question, and I we're probably going in more depth than it needed, but what I always find is this, is that there's a consistent system that we're providing that works just great. Take a new student, prep them for, get them excited about, and move them into the higher level program. But what, and again, I'll, you know, I always, if I can quote somebody like Stephen Hawking, I'll always pull it out and use it, is the quote that I love is, all systems left on their own tend towards entropy. In other words, if you have a staff and you sit down and you teach them the process once, and then you get it up to speed, if you don't reteach it to them constantly, is it gradually falls apart. And I see that happen a lot. I was talking to a good friend of mine recently, and he's got schools in two different cities, and the school in one city across multiple locations were doing just great at the upgrade system. The schools in the other city had were doing horrible. Well, what does that tell you? It just tells you the ones in the other place weren't being trained as effectively. And weren't being reviewed and rehashed and supervised at the same level, and therefore the system had fallen apart. And see, there's no such thing when it comes to staff development as somebody being quote-unquote trained. There's people who are actively training, and there are people who haven't been trained. And what you do have to recognize is with staff doing it, and frankly with yourself doing it, but with staff doing it, don't make a difference in the systems of the school as having a different process than like martial arts training. See, I wouldn't think that if I taught a white belt sidekick and then they didn't ever do another sidekick until they got their black belt that they were going to be able to demonstrate sidekick at a black belt level proficiency. I know that if I've taught them sidekick, I need to keep teaching them sidekick, but I need to teach them against the bag with the opponent moving backwards, with against the bag with the opponent blitzing or attacking me, in a sparring application, in a one-step application, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Once I've taught them something like sidekick or ground kick, there are many, many different ways to teach them application, to teach them timing, to teach them application of power, et cetera. And I'm going to keep training them on it and keep training them on it and keep training them on it to get higher and higher levels of proficiency. And truthfully, with your staff, you've got to teach them the system, and then you've got to reteach it at least every 90 days in order to get it. So, Chester, going back to that point, some of the ones that have done it and then gave up were the ones who just couldn't consistently and regularly keep their staff up to speed on the actual prep and sales process. And therefore, they, instead of developing good internal systems for training their people, they just threw in the towel. And really, what we have come to think in terms of is that something on the order of 75% of the revenue of the school is going to be based upon the upgrade slash renewal process. And if you leave that money on the table, then you're either deciding to run a much less profitable school than you could, and frankly, you're deciding to have much higher student attrition than you should have. And some people will make that choice. You know, they'll decide, all we're going to do is we're going to enroll people for 6 months at $149 a month and auto-renew them at 6 months for $149 a month. And if you're in a situation, let's say you're, you know, doing Groupon and putting people into cardio kickboxing and you got 100 intros a month, well, I mean, you can decide to run a high-volume, sloppily run, under-maximized location and do that. But frankly, even in that context, they're leaving two-thirds of the money on the table. And again, like what we're looking at with Elite MMA in Houston, you got a school that's running near $1 million a year. In my estimation, it should be $3 million a year. And so there's $2 million in revenue left on the table. And presumably, or, you know, I know for a fact, 90% of that revenue would be net profit. So when you're leaving the renewal slash upgrade process and not doing it effectively, you're leaving the vast majority of the potential net profit on the table as well, if that makes sense. Well, good. Any other questions while we're opening it up for Q&A here? Chester, did that answer your question thoroughly?
Yes, sir, it did. Because I've only been running a school for the past 4 years, about when did leadership kind of come into the industry and kind of who's been running it the longest sort of thing?
Well, frankly, most of this stuff was injected in the industry from the Junery Institute, to my knowledge, going back 35 years. I'm not sure how old Black Belt Club is. Master Smith, are you still on the call? Are you back in with us? Is the Black Belt
Club? Yes, if I can get unmuted.
Yeah. Master Smith, when did Black Belt Club first get injected?
I actually started that in 1970, about during the first year that I was with Junery.
Yeah, so Chester, if that gives you an idea, and then when did you start selling Master Club as the second degree renewal?
I talked Junery into that about a year later, when I found out that I had renewed everybody on the black belt and I didn't have anybody else to renew. So I talked to him about second degree and calling it Master Club. And he said that I was crazy because nobody would do it, because now all the black belts, the only ones that stayed after black belt, and he didn't charge them after black belt, it was free. And the only ones that stayed were the ones that were doing competition, who were actually going to the tournament. And I said, well, the reason they're not staying is because you throw them in with the advanced class with brown belts, and they don't have their own curriculum. And there's 2 years before you can get your belt and all other kind of issues that we need to address. I said, so we weren't placing any value in it. If it's free, then they don't think it's worth anything. So... once he said, well, you've tried at Kensington, if it works, then we'll do it at the other school. Well, that first month I renewed, out of the active count, I renewed 45 people to that Master Club, and then the other school started doing it, like one at a time.
Yeah.
So that was
back
in 72-3.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Chester?
Yes, sir, it does.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff honestly is nothing new from the standpoint of material that we're providing for members. Is we launched this completely done-for-you leadership material content as first of the year. Before that, NAPMA had provided done-for-you Black Belt Club material, National Black Belt Club material, that frankly was taken from, you know, old June Ree systems many, many years ago, and then had Gold Team, which is some people call it ITP or instructor training program or something like that. But Gold Team was really that kind of next level up of assistant instructor material, which has been, I'm not sure how long it's been around, but it's been around as in a done for you context for forever. You know, from my standpoint, I believe I started my schools in the 70s with Black Belt Club, and then not in the 70s, 1983, and then launched Master Club the following year or the year after. And frankly, I always found it useful to have like the next new thing to launch, and then launched Leadership. I don't know. We were at Black Belt Club and Master Club for years. And then, frankly, when I launched Leadership, I've told the story a bunch of times, but if you look at that first infomercial that's on our website, it's when I launched what we started calling the Leadership Program, which truthfully was not much different than what we were calling Master Club before. But when we launched the Leadership Program, I did that infomercial referring to Master Club and Leadership, without knowing yet what the leadership curriculum was going to be. And then from November 1st to December 15th, we launched the leadership program without knowing what the curriculum was going to be, to tell you the truth. Did over $750,000 in business. Again, this was across five locations in 6 weeks. And then I took between Christmas and New Year's to figure out what the curriculum was going to be, giving myself a January 1st deadline to know what the first quarter was going to look like, and in fact, over the holidays, outlined the first year of curriculum. And where people get bogged down in is they get bogged down into trying to figure out what they're going to teach. And in this case, the hardest part of it, the character development, actual leadership content, that's all stuff that we're doing for you. So all you have to do is pull that off the website, use the posters, everything else. I always recommend you have, in addition to that, some additional physical curriculum. What that physical curriculum is, of course, has to be predicated on what you're teaching already. If I'm a Taekwondo school or traditional karate school, just doing another traditional form isn't very exciting. And that's where we did a lot of, like the Eskrima, or Kali, and now we've been working with Kali for Kids and doing some of their stuff, is the Kali or the stick curriculum was a nice addition because it was completely different from what they were doing before. That's what ATS used XMA for. So the more acrobatic, high-level stuff, with the Junior Institute, some of it was some of the musical forms were an addition for those higher-level people. But the physical curriculum is useful because you'd like to have all of the people who are not in that thing looking across at the rest of the class who is in the thing going, wow, that's really cool, I wish I could learn that. But I think it's the developmental side, it's the developmental side that is why people will pay an extra $150 a month or $200 a month. And again, the mistake is to make the upgrade be you get to come a third or a fourth or a fifth time a week, because frankly in today's day and age that's the objection, not the value add. So you've got to be careful about making that the additional, the additional benefit is all of a sudden you get to come more often, because that'll be the objection, not the benefit. The second thing you have to do is to make sure that it's a real value add on what they're getting, and that's in the developmental side. And then that there's a couple of cool new additional things they get to learn. Let's do a couple more Q&A here. Any additional questions? Go ahead.
That's Oliver. If I can interject one little thing.
You bet.
Just so they get the history of where all this is coming from, after I started my own schools in 1980, about 2 years after that, about 82 is when I launched what was called our ITP program.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just a couple years after that that you I don't know if you called it ITP slash leadership or whether you just called it leadership.
I just called it leadership.
Yeah, and as far as I know, nobody else was calling it or doing a leadership program like you. Even our ITP was an instructor training course, and that was designed so we could have enough instructors to expand our school. And it was an extra cost, and it was a step up from, to be an ITP, you had to be in Master Club, and we didn't even have a leadership program. So even our ITP was aimed at a smaller group, maybe 20% of our students that, who wanted to be an instructor, or we wanted them to be an instructor. And when you launched leadership, it was the first one that took everybody beyond Master Club and actually taught them both sides, not just the curriculum side, but the other side of it, which is really what the parents, what sells the parents, what sells the kids is that fun curriculum that they get to do that's exciting with all the weapons and ground fighting and throws and knife and club. But what excites the parents is the leadership skills, based on West Point way of leadership. So they're getting a complete development program now for their kids, not just developing them physically, but there's actually leadership curriculum that is structured towards that leadership side, not just the physical, but the mental.
Yes. Well, and back with in Washington, there was the conversation about students having to have B averages and so forth to get their black belt, but in that context, it was still 75 or 80% adults. And in the early and mid 80s, I started doing a lot of life skills curriculum I derived from Dennis Waitley's book and audio cassettes, The Psychology of Winning. And then in the 80s as well, I did a bunch of training with Success Motivation Institute and Leadership Management, same company, in Waco, Texas. And they had a program called Making of a Champion that was all about learning goal setting and visualization and self-talk. And again, this is in the 80s, and integrated it dramatically into our program. And again, that was back in the context of still, when I opened and in the early mid 80s, we were still 75 or 80% adult. And when you talk about Black Belt Club and Master Club, that was mostly for adults. It wasn't a kids thing. And it's where people get the real, the real misperception is this stuff moved from predominantly being targeting adults to a lot of us shifted into more of the kids and family market. And so then we applied it to, adapted it and expanded it for the kids market. And what I always found is adults value this stuff ultimately more than the physical side of it, but the physical side was always important. And with kids, the kids wanted to be, Leonardo and the Ninja Turtles or whatever, but the parents wanted them to be immune to negative peer pressure, wanted them to be a straight-A student, wanted them to be, the president of the National Honor Society or the student body president or get a scholarship to college. And if I'm talking to a parent's willing to pay a certain amount of money for the child to learn the physical stuff. And that's kind of like going to baseball practice or soccer practice or something like that. And there's a bump from that for this is going to be able to protect my daughter in a self-defense situation. And certainly for a parent, that's valuable and important. But then there's a bump from that of this is going to have a positive impact in whether my child cleans their room, is respectful at home, behaves well in all situations. And then there's a bump from that of this is going to help my child be a straight-A student and be a leader at school and perhaps get a scholarship to school, perhaps go to West Point or Pepperdine or Harvard whatever it might be. And so what I'm always looking for is, what's the value? Well, there's a certain value that people place to fitness. And, of course, we see in the broader market is I can go buy a membership for 24-hour fitness for $19.95 a month. On the other hand, something like CrossFit, a lot of them are charging $175 to $200 a month. So there is a value there that's widely variable based upon how cool, unique, and personalized people perceive it to be. But then there's a value beyond that of whether I perceive it's going to affect me in a broader way. So the irony is, you know, like we've worked with some cross schools and some MMA schools, and they say, why would a 40-year-old partner in his law firm be willing to pay our 27-year-old MMA instructor for something beyond just fitness or just the physicality of learning the movement? And the reality is, the higher somebody is on the demographic profile, the more they value that. I mean, those are the same people who are willing to pay Tony Robbins $10,000 for a weekend or go through the Tony Robbins training program that's being run by a 25-year-old who went through a six-week training program who's sitting in their office with 100 other clients. I mean, those are the ones that are willing to pay for it. And truthfully,
and the parents who are willing to pay the $20,000 a year for private school when they've already had their tax dollars for public school.
Exactly. And so, as I move up in the demographic ladder, the more I value for the kids, and the more I value for myself. And you know, when we cycled through books like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, things like that, I would get feedback from. You know, parent is a high-level executive at IBM, and they'd be, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm going to have my child taught that material. That's great. So, again, if I'm the MMA instructor, really the people who are most successful are the ones who are thinking of this in terms of, this is going to teach me mental discipline. It's going to teach me mental skills. It's going to teach me the ability to be confident and focused in all situations. They're coming to you with that in mind already, and the ones who are not in that mode, it's relatively easy in the first month or two to show them that they have to move from just learning the physical skills to learning the mental and emotional skills in order to be, whether it's effective at self-defense or whether it's truly to be a black belt or whether it's to be effective and carry over into everything else they do. But Let's open it up for a couple of other questions here real quick, if anybody has any, before we ring off for the day.
Master Oliver?
Yes.
Marty Callahan, I have to apologize. I had to step out for about 25 minutes. You may have already answered these questions. If so, I'll just go back and listen. But I have two. One is, how do you teach a class when you have three-level programs in it, like a introductory program, an orientation program, and then a black belt club and a leadership club. I believe in Houston, what I thought I was hearing was that you break it into three groups, but my question would be, is that correct? And the second question has to do with, how and when do you present the three prices for the leadership program, the white belt, the gold belt, and the regular prices, that you put those in your... in the Mile High Maverick newsletter that just came out.
Let me answer the second one first. Is the first one, I would say, is that what you do is you're always presenting the highest price versus the price that they're right now, right? So if I'm talking to a beginner, I'm going to show them the highest price that it's going to be and the discount that they can get relative to that highest price in total dollars. In other words, if it's a 48-month program and the price is going to bump $100 a month and the down payment is going to bump $500, I'm going to show them that this is a $5,300 savings, right? Is I don't overcomplicate it with it's X price from now until you get your gold belt. It's X price from the time you get your gold belt to the time you get your orange belt. It's X price. You know, I'm not going to give them that level of detail. In one hand, is it lessens the impact of the presentation, and two is it overcomplicates it. And once you confuse them, nothing else happens. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
So I want to be careful about that. But I always want to give them the discount in terms of the total amount. I'm not going to say, well, as soon as you get your gold belt, the price is going to bump $20 a month. I'm going to multiply it out and give them the total discount. And then when I do all of this renewablist stuff, that's where I'm coming up with you're going to save $5,000. And, of course, nobody's going to renew if they're not really intent on following through with this long term. So, therefore, giving them the total discount is appropriate. And number two is, from my standpoint, I'm much better off to show them you're going to save $5,297.42. And instead of rounding it off, right? So instead of it's $5,000, here's going to be the difference, and I give it to them down to the decimal to make it look as credible as possible. Does that answer that question?
Yes, yes. And you would do that sometime within the first 2 months, correct?
In the standpoint of doing a blitz, really what I want to do is I want to launch the new program and present it to everybody and get the entire school excited about it. And I know I haven't hit a lot of the specific mechanics of that, but those are so thoroughly addressed in the materials that are on the member site. I hate to repeat what's on there already. From the standpoint of an ongoing basis, what I want to do is I want to set somebody's thinking at the point of enrollment that what we're enrolling for right now is a trial enrollment. Really, your mission is to follow through long term. We talk about getting to black belt and beyond. And of course, if you're in a school where, let's say you're a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school and a black belt is 9 years, I may really be enrolling them on a blue belt program. But I'm still talking in terms of black belt and long-term mastery and so forth, okay? The second thing is the question about the class structure. And the class structure that I like is that you have basically a basic class or a beginner class, where anybody who's not renewed is in that class. And then you have in our case, we do, our terminology is Master Club in Leadership, but I would recommend Black Belt Club in Leadership for NAV members, because that's the content that's done for you that we're providing. I would have a class that's only Black Belt Club and Leadership students that they get to move into. And then within that, what we do is we separate them out where there's a 45-minute class for Black Belt Club members and leadership. Then there's an additional 15 minutes at the end that's only leadership students. And even that beginner class, you can have the beginner class, and if somebody's renewed, you can split them up and you can have the top instructor doing, let's say, one side takes them over and they're doing stick curriculum or they're doing nunchucks or something fun like that. And then another group is off on the other side doing, front kicks. So you can separate them off during that class. But then when they upgrade, you can move them into a higher level class that's only people at that level. Now, I've seen that done in two different ways. I've seen have Black Belt Club only classes and then have leadership only classes. What we do is we combine those two, but then we separate them out for 15 minutes at the end. In practical terms, what we're getting is 75 to 90% of everybody who renews into the more expensive program anyway. So we're using, in this case, Black Belt Club. We're using Black Belt Club only as a financial fallback for people who can't afford the rather aggressive pricing that we have for the leadership program, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Did that answer that question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Good.
And Master Oliver, just
go ahead.
One quick little interjection on that. When you're giving them those prices, if you haven't pre-framed them, if you haven't prepped them from the their first intro class and the other classes to let them know that you're going to be talking to them about the black belt training when they are qualified. Now, we call our black belt training, and then there's either leadership or master club, but we call it black belt training because both are going to get to the black belt. And when we give them the price, I don't say, this is the price, and it'll be different next month and different the month after. What I tell them is this is the price at whatever belt they are, and if you wait, the regular price is, and then I show them that end price. I don't show them the breakdown or any kind of sliding scale because I want them to know that it's all or nothing. Because if that doesn't get them to make the decision, then a little bump isn't going to make a difference. So you try to tell them this is the price now. If you wait, the regular price is, and then I tell them what that is.
And that makes it much simpler. I agree with that, sir, because that makes it much simpler when you explain it to them, too. If you told them three different, when you're a white belt, it's this, when you're an orange belt, it's this, when you're a yellow belt, it's this, we do exactly what you said.
Yeah, and the sales principle, this is true of the enrollment and really anything else you might be trying to convince somebody of, but the sales principle is a confused person never does anything. So it's really easy to get into the sales maxim is KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid, or keep it simple and straightforward. The way I like to look at it is, you know, you can give them just enough information for them to make a decision, or you can give them one piece of information beyond that, and every piece of information you give them beyond really what they need to make a decision in a reasonably informed and honest manner, then you start to confuse them. And you know you've started confusing them when they start going, well, we're going to go home and look over all the information and discuss it and study it, and we'll get back to you. Well, you know, really, that's nobody wants to say, I'm totally confused, I have no idea what you're talking about. What they say is, we're going to go home and look it over and think about it. And they don't go home and they don't think about it. What they do is they go home and they defer it because, you know, they were confused and didn't have a basis to make a decision. Does that make sense? So you've got to really be careful.
I would. Can I add, sir? I hope everybody heard what you just said. When they say they have to go home and think about it, when they say they when they say one of those things, it's not because they don't want to do it. It wasn't a no. It was because they were confused.
Right.
And it's important to know that because a lot of times when people they say, well, I didn't upgrade that person. They said they had to go home and think about it, and isn't that terrible? It probably is because they really didn't get it, or we didn't connect with them enough.
Exactly.
And that's when I interject. If they do say that, I want to go home and think about it, and I'll say, okay, no problem. What is it exactly you need to think about? Because maybe I didn't explain it properly. And then they're gonna tell you what they're going to be thinking over, whether it's the commitment, whether it's the price, whether it's the training, whatever it is. Then you can open that can of worms again.
What we've talked about, and then I'll recap, and then I'll go to the list. Was it blank? Was it blank, right? And so, Ms. Jones, just to clarify my thinking, what specifically was it you want to think over? Then without taking a breath, I'll say, was it Joey's enthusiasm for this and whether he wanted to follow through to black belt? Because I thought we had talked and he really wants to do this. Well, no, he's pretty serious about it. Okay. Was it how the program unfolds? No. Was it that you're going to be here in the area long enough? No. Was it the finances? I mean, is that... And you know, all the way through, you'll get to the point where they'll tell you what it is specifically. And sometimes it's, well, we just didn't understand blank when you get to it. And sometimes it's, well, we just have to look at the budget and figure it out, and then it gives me a chance to talk about that specifically. Okay. So.
Not today, tomorrow.
So
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I've been with NAPMA for about 3 months, and thank you guys are amazing. Now, my questions with this being that a lot of the things that I've learned from you, we weren't doing in the school, so we had started implementing all of this. And the leadership program, the upgrade program, all that was part of what we started doing after my first meeting with you. Some of the questions I have, though, are really short. Some of them I hope aren't too long. But it seems that there's a lot of student information for, you know, the student's address, programs, renewal, upgrade, testing, like that. What software is the best to keep track of all of that, especially when we're talking renewal and upgrade?
What software?
Yeah, for keeping track of all of it.
Well, you know, I'll say it in two ways. You know, there's a lot of pretty good software packages. I don't think software has anything to do with having a good renewal percentage. And really, see, the hardest thing for anybody to do is shift their paradigm about how they're enrolling somebody. And when I say that, what I mean is this, is that, and, you know, I kind of freely stole this from JCAM years ago, and it probably wasn't a new concept, but it was perhaps the first time I heard it when it made sense to me, is if you think in terms of the initial one-year enrollment, it is just a trial enrollment, and I think in terms of the first month or 2 months is an extended introductory period. And there used to be schools, probably still are, you know, like a lot of the Campo schools would do like an 8-lesson or a 16-lesson introductory and really teach 16 lessons before they enroll them. I think of it as I'm doing a 16-lesson introductory to the leadership program. And the one-year enrollment is just an intermediate step. Does that make sense? And so now, if I'm thinking in terms of that, really what I'm doing is not trying to keep track of 100 people and where they're at. If I enrolled, pick a number, 20 people this month, I'm tracking them through those first 8 to 16 classes for every class they attend and every interaction I have on the process of the renewal. And in an automated fashion, and of course, we're doing a lot of that stuff for you. You know, just plug them into the done for you thing online and it, you know, they start getting dripped on. But really, you don't need a sophisticated software package to keep track of that. You just need to treat them like the same way you did intro one and intro two, is you're now treating them as an extended intro. Does that make sense? And so what I think happens a lot of times is we get bogged down into CRM systems and all of that kind of stuff, and we try to, like, you know, kill a gnat with a sledgehammer. We try to create an automated system for something that's really about interacting with one person at a time. Does that make sense?
And I would reiterate that. Software doesn't make your school run. I mean, it'll help, but don't get distracted by, you know, digging into trying to make the software function to replace us.
Right.
Right. No, well, I was just looking at something that was a little more, you know, because there's martial arts software out there that when the student logs in, it tells them if it's their birthday or if their dues are due. And I was wondering if you knew of anything that would kind of just keep the upgrades and renewals a little more organized.
Well, the way to keep it organized is to keep an appointment calendar with every new student really until they're renewed. And to follow up on them every time they're in class and to have personal interaction with them. And, you know, I've seen it done in a lot of different ways. You know, Keith Hafner calls it his quick start process. And really what it is they're scheduled for an appointment for every lesson they come to in the first month. And really, you know, it's, again, treated no differently than a first lesson or second lesson intro, where every time they come in, they're scheduled for an appointment, they're confirmed, they're followed up, somebody is assigned to them. Matt Smith, what's your term for that? You're calling it leadership.
It's our prep program that we do. You know, what some schools make the mistake of thinking, I'll just sign them up for a 2 or 3 month program and then renew them for a black belt after that. Well, the problem is you have to resell them at the end of that program, where Master Oliver's concept is you sign them up for a year. We try to upgrade them in 2 months. If you don't get them, then you've got another, 10 months. But normally it's another 2 months, because the ones that don't renew, we renew 80% of them by the end of 4 months. And the ones you don't catch at the 2 months, they're going to look at it a little more serious the next time. And they thought it was all or nothing. So when you go back to them and you say, well, there is a special gold belt price, or this price at this level, and then they go, but it's the last time. After that, it's the regular price. So now they go, okay, well, it's not that much difference in a white. I'll go ahead and do it. But even if they don't, you still have another 8 months to turn them around, because they're still locked in on your program for that year.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but where
and then
what I will say on that is, where it falls apart is when you don't have a high level of urgency built in. And it's not that if they don't renew in the first 2 months, they're more likely to renew in the second two, they're more likely to renew in the second two, and so forth. It's at every progressive time period, they're getting less and less likely ever to. Right? So those last 20% are the hard ones. And the first 20% are the lay downs who probably would have paid in full the leadership at the enrollment if you had asked. The only reason I don't like to ask is that, it's hard for especially staff to distinguish which are the ones that will do that and which are the ones that it's going to scare them off. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So, I don't mean to ignore the question about software. A lot of the software is tracking. What I am most concerned with is having sequential autoresponder, email, text, broadcast, voicemail, et cetera, where it automatically happens for prospects. But then you can do the same thing for a new student, where you're dripping on them and sharing information with them automatically in the same sequence for each new person as they come in the process. And, there are a number of ways to do that. And of course, we're doing a lot of that stuff, so that done-for-you material that's online is already doing a lot of that stuff for you. You just have to plug in the information. But there's software that we're using. There's that expensive, complicated program called Infusionsoft at the low end, but it will do everything you need, really. It's AWeber for email and Call Loop for text message and broadcast voicemail. So there are simple ways to do it. Is there, we're really not in the software business per se, other than we're doing a lot of this stuff for you, so it's in there. Does the other software packages that are available in the industry, do they do this well? A lot of them will do the mechanics, but you still have to put in the material. And so if you pull the leadership material that we have available for you and the Black Belt Club material and put that in either to Call Loop and into AWeber or into Champions Way or into, you can go through the list. Most of the good ones have the ability to do that. Now, how useful is it to integrate all that other stuff? I think it's mostly a distraction, because what you want to do, and this is the staff training issue, you've got to get everybody to think in terms of, this is basically a 16-lesson intro into leadership, and the 12-month enrollment was the intermediate step. What happens in practice, which is why I talked about early on doing the big blitz twice a year, is in practice what happens is most of the people get enrolled, get metaphorically thrown over the wall into the class, then they just get integrated in the class, then you go try to pluck them out and do a renewal. And that really doesn't work very well. You don't get the 75, 80, 90% of them in that process. What you want to get those kind of numbers is you prep them at the enrollment that this is coming next, and then you walk them by the hand, build rapport, and present the information through lesson 1 through 16 and get them renewed in that sequence.
Okay.
Now, does that answer that question?
And then it does. And it was pretty much what I was looking for was, because I am very, I don't want to say hands-on, but I'm very personable with all of my family members, the parents, the students, the siblings, and we do a lot of discussing of what's coming up, you know, our new leadership program that we just started. And that was kind of the way I was looking at, was that to be more personable instead of mechanical. And so it seems like that I was on the right train of thought for that. Now, the next question I have, and hopefully it won't take too long because I'm sure other people have questions, are we have not implemented any kind of a master club or a black belt yet. The first thing we wanted to jump into was our referral program and then our leadership program. Our leadership program, we started on the 1st of May. The first class, we had like one kid. The last class that we just did on Saturday, we had almost 20 students in. So I let all of those families attend for the month of May at no charge, just so they could see it, get it going, with the intent that they understood that there was going to be a charge for it later. But with new students that are coming in that I'm trying to sign into our program, should I be selling them the leadership program at the same time as the Or should I distinguish that it's two different prices on it, one for the classes, one for the leadership? Because you were talking earlier about making it enough.
Yeah, that ringing is annoying. But,
that's kind of loud.
Yeah, what I would preface them on is that, I think that's telling us we've way overextended our time here. But what I would be selling them on at the enrollment is that this is a program obviously designed to take you to black belt and beyond.
Right.
I wouldn't use that app. We're across two different conference lines, so I don't have the ability to do that right now. I apologize to everybody. But what you sell them on at the enrollment is that this is a program obviously to master. You fall through to black belt and beyond. We're just going to enroll on a trial basis to begin with. And then over the next couple of months, we're going to be doing some evaluations. And if you qualify to be accepted into training to black belt and beyond, is we'll walk through the options and go ahead and approve you to do that, right? Now, notice the conversation is takeaway. You know, really what you want to do is follow through with this long-term training to black belt. We'll approve you or not approve you. You want them to be thinking in terms of, you know, do I get accepted to Harvard or not, right? And I would free frame that right away. When you start talking about, and you said something a minute ago, I kind of like having leadership and then a fallback. And I'm not sure it's necessary to have leadership, master club, and black belt club. What we're providing for everybody is leadership and black belt club. And then goal team, which is, Master Smith's talking about the instructor training program. So that's a level above leadership. But what I would do is, again, be careful not to confuse them. And when I start talking in terms of, like, all the specific programs, what happens is they start getting confused and or they start asking questions that I don't want to answer yet, right? Well, how much is that going to be and how much more is that? And how long do we have to commit to? Well, I don't want to go into all of that right then. I just want them to understand, you know, this is the starting point. There's something higher, and you have to qualify to be part of that something higher.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
And was that trying to write as you speak? So
yeah,
no,
I think that answered my question
greatly.
I'm going to send everybody the recording too, so you'll have this available. But so that answered the question.
It did. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Any last question before you have to ring off?
Don't.
And again, I mean, to summarize, we covered most of this in Houston at the Inner Circle Peak Performers meetings. We do have all that recorded. We'll make sure that it's up at the member site for Peak Performer Inner Circle members. So, but the thing I would say, if you're not doing this effectively, you're leaving the vast majority of the revenue and the vast majority of the profits on the table. So you've got to get really focused on making sure you're implementing this effectively.
The last thing I would add, Matt Oliver, is that if they don't have them on at least a master or leadership program, which in our system is a 4 or 6 year program, and they just have them on a year or less, that means that they're going to have to be re-enrolling their entire student body every year or every 6 months. Whereas once you have them in a 4 year or 6 year commitment, now your monthly starts stacking on top of each other. You don't just have the new students coming in to add to your monthly bottom line. You have the people who committed for that second year and that third year and fourth year and fifth year and sixth year. And those tuitions start stacking up with all the new people that are coming in. So that's how you compound, and the schools get up to the 60 and 70 and 80,000 a month gross.
And and just having the annual auto renew, I mean, that doesn't fix it. There is great value in the renewal process from the standpoint of helping the student set a goal and be serious about long-term follow-through. And there's great value in really getting them to make the decision that this is something beyond a year at a time or beyond a month-to-month thing that they're going to do. I mean, you know, don't underestimate the value in walking them through that level of commitment. And on that note, I think we'll have to ring off here, Master Smith. And Master Moody, thank you both for your contribution.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
I'll apologize again for sending out two different access codes. We did fix it for anybody who got lost in the shuffle. We'll send them out the recording as well. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.